If a man really loved the Lord Jesus as his Savior, do you have any idea how this would affect him and what he would want to do? Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? In these words, the Lord Jesus confronted Simon Peter with the great challenge to serve him. We find this in the last chapter of the Gospel of John. If you've been following our studies in these days, you will know that for weeks now we have been studying in the Gospel of John. Weeks ago we began at the very beginning, and we heard John the Baptist say about him, "Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world." And we have followed him all the way through the Gospel, going verse by verse and portion by portion, as we have tried to understand what was actually happening while Jesus Christ was here upon earth, showing people the truth about God's plan for them in him. And we have listened as he explained how that in him the will of God would be done, and how he taught his disciples to put their trust in him and to yield to him and let his will be done in them and his Spirit prevail in them. And then, if you will remember, in just recent weeks, we watched him as he was arrested after he had been betrayed, and then how he was abused in court, how he was condemned falsely, how he was crucified in a cruel, harsh fashion, and how he was buried, and then how he was raised from the dead and manifested himself, showed himself alive before the disciples and convinced them that he really was alive. And so we had gone through 20 chapters in this gospel and had covered, as it were, what John had to say about the earthly ministry of Jesus of Nazareth. Now we come to the last chapter. And this last chapter in the book of John is something that happens after he has been raised from the dead. It has something to teach us about the relationship that we now, living in this world, should have toward our risen Lord. Now, this first portion that I want to bring to your attention for our study today is in chapter 21, verses 1 to 17. And it is a very practical incident. It again relates to matters that concern his disciples and himself. I think I mentioned to you the other day, and I think I want to say it to you again now. You will notice that when the Lord Jesus rose from the dead, he concentrated all his interest and his activities to his own people. The world had been given its opportunity. He had shown himself to the world, and he had called the world to put their trust in him. And the world had crucified him, and they had buried him. They're done with him. The next time they'll see him, he'll be coming in glory, with 10,000s of his angels, taking vengeance upon them that know not God and that obey not the gospel. This whole matter of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, we found, was among his own. When he was raised from the dead, he appeared to believers, to Mary Magdalene, and then to the disciples in the upper room, and then convincing Thomas, and afterwards, several times again, he would meet again and again in the course of 40 days with his own disciples. We have no evidence at all that he ever showed himself to an unbeliever. It's a bit as though a person who has not accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, they come up here to a blank wall, if you will, or perhaps like a drawn curtain. It's not for them to see the blessing and the benefits that there are from having a fellowship with the risen, living Lord. But believers can have it, and this is what we're going to find here now. So as we read along in chapter 21, the first thing we see is the very well-known incident that Peter and several disciples went fishing. I'm not sure that this meant that Peter had definitely changed his mind, as some will suggest, as though Peter was somehow being disobedient to any promise that had, or any commission that had been given him. I'm not at all sure the reading of the Gospels brings this matter out. I'm rather disposed to think it was more or less of a normal activity, the matter of them going fishing that night, and these several men going and doing this thing. After all, they had a living to make, and this was the way in which they would make their living. I'm not sure whether that's the way in which to see it, but I have no reason why we shouldn't see it that way. Except that on this particular incident, as it is reported, these several disciples went out fishing that night, and we read in verse 3, "That night they caught nothing." Then I want you to notice how the next morning, when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, as we read in verse 4, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. And this I want to make you mindful of in passing, because just as these disciples were going about what I think was an ordinary routine activity on their part, their usual activity, I can see you going about your work. You can be going down to the office. You can be picking up the day's work in your own home. You will have the housekeeping to do. You'll have school teaching to do, just the way it is in your own home. And on this day, after they had toiled all night and taken nothing, and I expect there isn't a one of us that doesn't have that experience, isn't that true? Don't you often have the experience that you feel as though you were toiling all night and taking nothing, and doing nothing, getting no consequences out of it at all, just seems to be futile and be empty, that sort of thing? Now as the morning came and they came to the shore, here's someone standing. And it happened to be the Lord Jesus, but they didn't know who it was. And I feel like reminding you, you'll never know which day in the week, what hour of the day, at a particular instance, the Lord will draw nigh you. You need eyes of faith to be open to see. He could be around any time, will be all the time, and it's for us to know it. Remember, this happened to them before the days of the Holy Spirit. They had no insight, no way of knowing who this would be. Anyway, they didn't know. But we do know this, that he called to them, we read in verse 5, Jesus saith unto them, Have you any meat? And they answered, No. That is, did you take any fish? And they said, No. And he said, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and you shall find. They cast, therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. I want to draw one attention to one thing about that. I want you to notice that these were the kind of people who would do as they were told. These were the kind of people that responded to the guidance. There was a willingness to follow directions. Now, mind you, they didn't know who he was. They weren't doing this because he was the Lord. They were doing this because a suggestion was made. And I'm disposed to think that those of us who are willing-minded people will find ourselves led many, many times in the way of blessing far beyond what we could expect. I think that so far as we are concerned, I'm concerned, you're concerned, in our natural way, I think we should have in mind that the natural disposition to rebel, the natural disposition that we have in us that we don't want to do what we're asked to do, may keep us from blessing many, many times. In this case, when the suggestion was made, do it differently than you've done. Throw the net on the other side of the ship. And they did, and we read they were not able to draw it for the multitude of the fishes. Then in verse 7, an interesting thing. The disciple whom Jesus loved, and you remember that's John, saith unto Peter, It is the Lord. He recognized at once that such guidance would come from the Lord. And some people do understand the ways of the Lord better than others. And this was the case with John. But Peter, as soon as he heard that, we read that he girt his fisher's coat about him and cast himself into the sea. Remember that this is the same Peter who on one occasion had denied the Lord. But this is the same Peter that the Lord had called to himself after he went into Galilee. And now under these circumstances we find Peter, the one that throws himself overboard to rush there to the shore that he might see his beloved Lord. When they came there, they found in verse 9, a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. Jesus saith unto them, Bring of the fish which you have now caught. I don't have time, I expect, to go into this too much, but I would make you mindful of that. Just stop and think a minute. Bring something of what you've done, the Lord Jesus saying. Bring of the fish that you've caught. You have something. You've done something. It counts. Bring it in. Simon Peter went and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153. And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus saith unto them, Come and dine. Come and have your breakfast. And this is the third time that Jesus showed himself. Now when they had dined, the Lord Jesus did something with Simon Peter. I know your attention's been drawn to this, but very quickly let me draw your attention to it in verses 15, 16, and 17. The Lord Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, lovest thou me more than these? And he says, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And then the Lord said, Feed my lambs. He saith to him the second time, Lovest thou me? He said, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said to him, Feed my sheep. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? He said, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. This is a very interesting insight into how we are led into service. If we love him, we will serve him. Now let me draw another thing to your attention. You would notice that this was three times. I don't know how much you want to make of this, but do you remember Peter denied his Lord three times? On three different times he had denied his Lord, and now the Lord asks him three times over the same question. There's another little matter that you might not see here in the English, and it comes out in this fashion. Some of the translations have this. There's a difference in the verb for love, so that you have it as Jesus saying to Simon, Lovest thou me? And Peter's answer was, Thou knowest that I am your friend. And he said, Feed my lambs. He didn't use as strong a word as love. Then he said to him the second time, Simon, lovest thou me? He said, Lord, thou knowest I am your friend. But the third time, the Lord Jesus said, Are you my friend? That's the way he used the weak word, the lesser word. And then Peter was grieved because he said the third time, Are you my friend? And he said, Lord, thou knowest that I am your friend. He said, Feed my sheep. Our God and Heavenly Father, we pray thee that so far as we are concerned, that the disposition to respond to thee, the disposition to do thy will, the willingness to obey thee and to serve thee, the desire to glorify thy name, the readiness to witness in thy name to anybody may be in our hearts because we love thee and want thy name to be magnified. For thy name's sake we ask it. Amen.